You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for Season 1, Episode 11 of Boardwalk Empire. Tonight's host is Paul Ashton. Joining Paul will be AfterBuzz co-host Bethany Jaber and Phil Svitek. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Boardwalk Empire news and gossip. We want to hear from you, too. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Paul Ashton.
Thank you very much, Rich. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV for Boardwalk Empire Season 1, Episode 11, titled Paris Green. I'm here with Phil, Bethany, Kev. Corey's in the booth, and we're very excited to talk about tonight's fascinating episode, the penultimate episode for this season, one to go. And there's a lot to cover tonight. In our special segment tonight, we're going to be comparing the 1920s to the 1990s, or the bling era, as Phil will explain to us a bit more about that when we get there. But tonight, a fascinating episode. We saw Nucky facing off with Margaret and Eli. We saw Jimmy facing up to his past with his father and his mother, and then ultimately with his wife and her attempted flight to Paris. And then, of course, Van Alden, mano a mano with his corrupt deputy. The episode was really, to me, about deception. It began with and was bookended by sideshows. By
I enjoyed that.
By Hardeen, Houdini's brother, trying to get up a what are they called? Straight jacket. It took him 6 minutes and 30 seconds to get out.
Right, and the audience just bored.
Right, and then of course we finished with Nucky going to a palm reader. The last of all places I would have expected a man who had just beforehand screamed at his woman to be rational. He ends up placing himself in front of a fortune teller. And so how we get there, what happened in between, was fascinating. First of all, let's just talk about the title, Paris Green, and what that means. Because last week we talked a lot about The Wizard of Oz and its impact on and metaphoric involvement on last week's ep. And I can't help but feel that the green is an allusion to that. And that Paris is this kind of again a kind of an Oz for, at least literally, for Jimmy's wife, and in this episode we see a lot of fronts being pulled down and a lot of people being constantly deceived. So why don't we start with Nucky and Margaret. Obviously, Margaret's deception by Nucky, in terms of Nucky's murder of his wife, is exposed. Of his ex-husband is exposed today, and let's just cut straight to the chase and go to that incredible scene and that confrontation that we saw. I mean, pretty amazing, right?
I mean, absolutely. You just finally saw it blow up, and you know she's been gaining this sort of confidence throughout, and really brings it to him. No holds bar this time.
I am so disappointed in her. I know you might be a little bit surprised by that, but I mean, how did she not know what she was getting into? And all of the things that she stated, I found a little bit irrational.
Yeah.
In that sense, but I love that Nucky went for it and called her out and said, "Do you, really, woman? I mean, do you have no clue?"
Yeah. But, I mean. It was so great in that opening scene when after the Hardeen's taken his straitjacket off, and they're having the cocktails afterwards. He says, "Deception requires complicity. We all want to be deceived." and which was the, you know, to me, the ultimate statement for the episode tonight,
yeah.
and perhaps for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wonderful. But that's what Margaret has bought into. She has, as Nucky calls her out on, she has, when have you ever said no to what I put in front of you?
Exactly.
When have you ever denied it?
And she counters with, you don't know what I am. She didn't say you don't know who I am. She says you don't know what
I am. So what does that mean, Bethany? What's she getting at?
She might just be a force to be reckoned
with. Is that
with.
Like what Eli said, you don't know what you've created?
Yeah.
Not who.
She's not talking about who she is, what her morals and her ethics and her values are. She's saying what she is capable of.
Yeah.
And I find that far more frightening.
What was equally frightening was what happened to Steve Buscemi in response to that. Like there was like some animal that came out of him, you know, like. It was
one of the first times, last episode, we saw him when, I can only refer to him as the Polish man, but he comes in. And that was the first time I actually saw him get physically aggressive.
That was Doyle.
Okay. Yeah. Doyle comes and he's like, hey, I'm gonna betray the Italian guys. And he gets a little physically aggressive. But tonight we saw it in his eyes.
Yeah, something came through him, like just from an acting perspective.
That I have never seen Buscemi do ever.
Absolutely. It was like electric.
Yeah.
So his eyes went so wide, he was like a nocturnal animal. It was so visceral and physical. I did not know what he was going to do. And it was really, for me, the highlight of the season in terms of Buscemi's performance.
I would agree with
how
that.
How contained it was, how it went straight downward mm-hmm. into the ground, and, you know, like, and then he lets it out by throwing that bottle of poison at the mirror.
Yeah.
And you may remember the final image of like this of our last episode was Margaret standing
in the mirror
in that very mirror, looking
Absolutely.
At herself, wondering who she'd become. And then the climax of their fight, he throws the Lysol into the mirror, smashing it,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was just a great little touch. Considering you
and
know,
shattering
yeah.
the myth
yeah.
and this whole like fantasy she's built up or you know maybe it's not a fantasy but the whole the Wizard of Oz
I think it is a fantasy because he says to her in that moment, I mean, what life do you think you're living? What do you think you've agreed to?
You think
to?
You're a good person?
Yeah.
I thought it was great that he fought back.
But also so great how then when shortly after Eli and Nucky have their fight and Eli calls him out on that. You have her around you so you think it'll because you think she's a good person it'll like
and you think you're being good to her and you saved her from her thing that this is going to wipe away
your sins.
And this is the Catholic BS and I can speak to it from having been raised in that world.
Right.
It's the you know you're guilty and you're going to go to hell and all this other stuff. So if I do some good things over here that's going to erase. And this goes back to Jimmy first episode saying to him you can't be half a gangster.
Yeah.
And remember the Commodore said to him, you've got to shake hand your brother.
Yeah.
Okay, and how dare you have, you know, he says to him, you got to get, how, and he's like, get fire Eli, you know, my own brother. And
which, of course, happens tonight.
Because he can't be a half a gangster.
But he also gets pushed, right? Eli, like, he and Eli have a big
Eli made
out.
It very easy on him.
Yeah, didn't he?
He made it very easy on him, but
I
now
I also felt sorry for Eli for the first time. Like, the eight kids?
Eight kids, you know something?
Jesus.
And back up, eight kids and took the dad in.
Yeah,
without question. Was like, he'll just, what do you mean? He'll just come live with me and the wife.
Yeah.
And you know, and there was something else that he said in there, and I'm so sorry. It, along with the eight kids, what else went on in this scene that showed that he's really a decent guy?
I can't think of anything.
There was something. That,
you know, I appreciated that he said, "Who are you to play God?" Yeah, I don't remember the line exactly, but it was it just it made him a. I don't want to say an average man, but like he had a rational, God forbid I use that word, sense about him. Like who are you to play God?
And I've got to really think that's how they framed him. Like he had a real wholesome kind of.
I'm sorry. Yes. It was when he said we go out in our me and the wife have our fights out in the shed,
right?
So the kids don't hear. So once again, you have this guy who's of course I'm going to take my father and he can come and live with us. What are you, crazy? And that's how he had said that to Nucky so many episodes ago. But here it's like, no, we have our fights out there. So you see like this decency with this guy, and it's not as much a contradiction for him. It's like, I go to work and that's my job to knock heads. But Nucky, you have created this fantasy.
Yeah, and Eli said that amazing thing about keep it about the business.
Right.
Not about this, like, what this like redemption trip.
Right.
And we learn more today that we can talk to a little bit later, but we learn more about how we've always been noticing this thing that he has for women with children, how he takes in, how he's got an art, he always spots the mistress. And who's on the side with
the
child.
You, it's a Catholic thing, and you see it even in the mafia.
And we see how
these guys are always so generous. You'd be like astounded with how generous they'd be with the down and out and the downtrodden.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but not that Sinatra was mafia, but you saw it with his personality too. You'd hear that he'd really like knock people around and be so cruel, but yet was so generous.
It's like their Robin Hood
to people
complex.
In need. Yeah,
right. Robin Hood complex. That's really
right.
But we find out tonight that for Nucky, it goes way back to when he was sheriff for the Commodore, and
and how many we've been talking every week about, you know, we're just getting these little bits and pieces about who Jimmy is, who the Commodore is, where it all comes from, and tonight we learn
everything, right?
How it all went down.
Yeah. So I mean, and let's talk about it. We're there now. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. So the Commodore is running the town. He built the town up. He's 54. Nucky's his sheriff, and brings him a 13-year-old girl who he liked the look of in a choir, and basically pimped her out. And that was I mean, it's Shakespearean. It's Shakespearean.
It's horrible.
13.
Yeah. And you're...
But again, let's deal with the times. And we just haven't come back from Europe.
Yep.
It's still very normal. 13 to 16 is very normal for courtship for older men. And in those cultures, it's normal.
Yeah.
And back then, I'm sure it was, you know, it was starting to be...
It certainly perhaps didn't have as bigger impact then on them as it does on us now. But still, Jimmy says to him, you were only 13. So what, he pimped you out?
Right, what bothers me about it is the fact that, and I know it should be the fact that a 13-year-old slept with him. But I see that mom, and I kind of believe that, seeing with young kids, that between 3 and 6 you are who you are, and it's just like, I don't know. I don't see that mom having had a problem with it. I see her as being that. That's who she was.
Yeah.
Is the type that at 13 wanted to be with someone big and powerful and kind of ran in the way she's still running
she's
now.
I
very well could be wrong. No, I know, Bethany, you're cringing.
I'm cringing.
She has then gone out and tried to murder him. So she's obviously harboring something.
And argue with me about it all you want, and I'd even back down on it. The point I'm getting to is the fact that now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain. And this is like you... mofo, you did this to my mom at 13, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm like so bummed because I like Jimmy and he working and Nucky working together. Now there's going to be so much animosity and tension for the rest of this series.
Oh, yeah.
You did that to my mom.
And it's so interesting. Like, I really wasn't sure which way Jimmy was going to go with the Commodore. When he first comes in to see him, he hates him. And I kind of almost felt like when Jimmy said to his mom, I'm gonna look after him tonight, that he was gonna take a pillow to him and put him out of his misery that very evening.
Almost,
you know, like it would not have surprised me if it had gone that way. And then we find out that the Commodore's being poisoned slowly with arsenic.
Right.
And so, you know, no matter how... I totally agree with you.
Most likely by mumsy, right?
Right, but mum, absolutely.
Right.
And so, you know, I totally reckon that she would have been one of those, very mature, flirtatious teens.
Right, but...
Who walked herself into the lion's den, but then was never able to deal with that. We see how damaged she is because she's now trying to kill him as a, you know, revenge, or to get the money.
I think she's just cold hearted. Just to get the money at this point. Yeah.
Anyway, but then by the end, it's like,
so Jimmy's, Bethany, I don't want to step on you. No,
it's
okay.
It's all right. I mean, she was taking it way too easy at the beginning when she's feeding Jimmy all of this information at the very top of the episode. I'm like, God, she's taking this way too well. There's something up here. She's just so...
She's a reptile now.
She's so forgiving about this... Yeah. This
it's all been beaten out of her.
Rape. I'm like...
It's all been beaten out of her. But, you know, now it's... You know, probably at 13 and beyond, or before then, and then what she's seen with Nucky. Yeah. I think it's all been beaten out of her.
But then she's trying to kill him. So it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And you can see how what she did with Lucky... Luciano was just a walk in the park for her.
Nothing.
Walk in the park.
She's what you'd call a gangster.
I think that this is she wants his money, the Commodore's money. I think she's been going. It's a long term plan.
An old dirty man.
I'm going to take you down.
And it's time to go down.
I'm going to kill you. I need my money.
I think she's fabulous.
But again, she has her decency too, because she really loves Jimmy. She loved the grandchild. Remember when she called out her daughter-in-law. I love her. She's gangster.
She is my favorite.
Except what's so funny is how it seems to have affected Jimmy in the way that he has now got the reason to blame Nucky for pimping her out in that betrayal.
This is such a crucial piece of information. It's such a seed that has now been planted, and I'm really excited about this because I think it's going to of course they're going to continue to work together, but I like to think is the divide that is going to carry the series. And if the Italians don't take them out, then Jimmy will take Nucky out with this piece of information.
Well, and the Commodore said the wrong man is running this city.
This episode is
not
so defining.
Nucky, it shouldn't be Nucky, it should be you.
You, Junior.
And
I agree.
Because
you
Nucky,
Jimmy should be running the town.
Nucky sits.
No, what?
Jimmy sits down with him with his mom.
Nucky's been carrying this on his back.
And says, look, I know what you've been doing. I get it. Do you really want to continue? And we know, apart from the preview of next week, that the Commodore. We see a shot of the Commodore looking remarkably healthier. So the
he's going to be okay.
He's back, and Jimmy has now transferred his hatred, somehow forgiven the Commodore almost, because maybe whatever, and then seems to have this newfound investment in his relationship with his son.
Absolutely.
And there we see the beginning of passing it down.
What did he say? You and I.
You and I will be doing it, and without the ladies or whatever it was.
He said it'll be you and I up to all hours.
Yeah, and no one else.
And no one else.
Aww. She's listening and walks out, and then she breaks down because, of course, this whole deception theme. I mean, no one felt it. No one felt the sting of it more than Jimmy's wife tonight, as the illusion comes, you know, shattering down around her ankles like a wet pair of pants when she walks in to find out that. I mean, here's the thing: was it just that Mary did not have the guts to follow through? It felt like there was a real connection.
Or did he find out? Did he kind of say whatever he said in German? I think right. Was it what language?
French. I don't know.
Did he speak? Oh yeah, maybe
something. Probably my love. French.
Did he make her melt in that moment, or did he find out?
I think he got in the way of it somehow. He found out what was going on and has a control over her that we have seen before, because Mary was always silent in the face of it.
I just think any relationship with a history is going to have more strength over something new.
Yeah.
And so there's a part of her who loves her quote-unquote husband, if he's even that. And she was like, let's go. It's time to split. I mean, clearly it's
easier to walk away from... from Tommy and Jimmy's wife.
Who the heck was going to provide for two women in Paris? I mean, let's be honest. It was a complete fantasy. They would have never survived by themselves.
Nightmare.
I mean, clearly they're a team. They're hagglers. Whatever. I can't really quite find the word to. Is it? Charlatans. Yeah, and they've been running the gamut at this, and they're going to keep going. They're going to hit another town.
There have been some critics who've criticized the subplot of Jimmy's wife.
What have they said?
Do we need it? Why do we need it? Give me more Al. Give me more give me more, not give me more. You know, and that's what I was kind of like thinking. Oh, geez, I wonder if they are just going to let her go. But they didn't.
I think in order for Jimmy to rise, he needs to lose everything, and that's including
what I said
his mother.
To you during this.
So he's got to lose the wife, and then once his mother goes,
well, the mother will be the one to push him. She'll be the woman behind the man to help him.
But I think if he actually loses her, like she's dead because of Lucky, that will fuel him to rise to the top even more.
But
I think it's his son that is the key. I mean, to me, that's what this is about. No, it's about, the way that he took his son's shirt off at the end of that episode, it was about something being passed down, and Jimmy has always thought that it was Nucky was the father figure, and he's been dealing with being the prodigal son to Nucky as it was lately, and then...
They did it all wrong with him. It was done all wrong by Commodore, by Nucky, always, and so now he's going to do it right. So how does this relate to, yes, he's going to be a better human being, but how does this relate to him being a kingpin and a mob boss this show? Or does it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I just think there's that thing about the way that things are passed down and keep it in the family. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's that whole thing of and it's a reason for him. He's sort of been faced all of a sudden with his own upbringing and how poor it was.
It's gonna ground him more.
And his real father saying to him, "You're a good son," as he just calmed him down as his father flipped out in that moment of his sort of...
So how does this make him a better mobster?
Well, I think it gives him more to live for. It gives him...
More to lose.
More to lose.
It makes him more vulnerable.
Yep. He's also
Nucky is like, he's losing everyone around him, which means he's
He also has more of a reason, a motive now to be peed off with Nucky, and now he has a father, a real father, with a lot of money and a lot of power, who's just said to him,
"Oh, I know, I hate this. You guys are excited about this?
I'm so excited.
I don't want Nucky taken down."
No, because I think
Nucky's not going to go without a fight.
But you know what? Nucky doesn't live authentically, whereas Jimmy does. Jimmy's like, "This is who I am, and this is what I do, and Nucky's more of us. Tries to like hide it. He's like, "I think I'm bad, but I'm really good."
Really? He's struggling with it. He's a half a gangster.
He's not honest with himself, whereas Jimmy is very...
I guess that's what I relate to. I love that. But let's all remember, before you guys get too far ahead, yes, this creates conflict, but remember, historically, and even though they've said from the beginning they're not going to obey history, he's protected by that. But history-wise, Nucky is a badass kingpin who has a pretty good reign.
Well, this is it, and as we were saying before, the side of him that we saw, the animal that we saw, rear its head.
He's a work in progress too.
Yeah, but I mean, think of that. Did you like the animal you saw inside his eyes when he had that fight with Margaret? I mean, that was something incredible. And to me, I just thought,
"I am not a gangster until I've proven otherwise." Right? Didn't he say that episodes ago? He told us that. But unless he's pushed to it, then he's gonna.
Yeah, I just saw the animal in him tonight that I think is gonna like. I'd be very scared to be faced.
Good.
Be
I hope you all should be scared. Long live the reign of Nucky.
I think
he's great. I love Buscemi. I love the character, and I'm rooting for him. And I'll tell you something else. The villain in this, and I'm probably gonna get to it anyway. And I've said this from the beginning. The villain is not Capone, it's not Rothstein.
No.
Those are all like, they're just nemesis.
They're just players.
The villain. And you saw it again tonight. Yes.
I would not describe him as a villain. To me, he is the villain. I don't know.
He's the villain. Because, you know why he's the villain? Because he keeps doing things that are so evil that you're going to have to root for Nucky when they go against each other, because look what he did tonight. I mean, you had a guy that like was bending the law. Did he deserve to A, even have to convert, let alone be drowned to death?
Yeah.
The reckoning
in the woods. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I love the way that we had the African American Christians, the white Christian and the Jew, just all like kind of gathered together there for a minute, and
the way the Jewish guy put the gun down and he was just like, "We don't want any trouble, not the other one. He walked right out.
Van
with
Alden
his pistol.
Was there to kill it. That's what he
That's
was there
right.
to do.
He came there to. There was like not even that. I even thought there was going to be a moment of like he would catch himself for regret. Like no.
Yeah.
He murdered him.
Yeah.
And who did he murder? It was one thing when the dentist office when you
top.
Went back right. And then when you saw what it was,
and you heard me get very silent.
I didn't know it was going to turn to murder.
Yeah,
but remember when he's in the dentist office and he kills the German guy, but he tortures a gangster.
Yeah, but this guy's also committed murder. He's a murderer. He murdered.
I mean,
but in cold blood.
But who did he murder?
A kid who witnessed something, like another crim. Like,
but he was a criminal though.
Yeah, but so is he a criminal because he's committed murder and killed someone. They're all criminals.
No, different thing.
They're all criminals.
No, different thing. Different
he
thing.
Works for Nucky. He's a criminal.
No, that was business. He's not a gangster. I don't see him as a gangster.
He was a duplicitous, deceitful.
Wearing
shoes
is,
of money, of dirty,
right,
dirty money. And as,
right.
And as far as Van Alden is concerned, he deserved to die. And I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that makes Van Alden right.
No.
But
right, I get his perspective.
They're all corrupt.
Corrupt, but there's different levels. So you're comparing, you're going to say Charles Manson is the same as a guy that commits, you know, one crime because it's going to be his family.
No, but we don't. I mean.
So you think the Jewish guy was a Charles Manson?
No way! Don't put words in my mouth.
Well,
I just
asked you that.
None of them are.
Okay,
none
so
of them
what
are
I'm trying.
Mansons.
So what I'm saying
he's
is
part of the.
What
of
I'm
the
saying
gangster
is
of
when,
criminal
when
activity.
He kills the guy in the dentist's office, he's going against a Charles Manson type of guy. Who was a gangster? Who was
just,
killing people left and right? So what
I was just that guy was hired. That guy was hired muscle.
Just for one
the
night.
The guy who he killed
he
in the dentist's office
was a full-time
hired
gangster.
Muscle.
And what I'm saying is the progression. Is now, it's like, okay, Van Alden, you clearly showed you're ruthless or whatever, but now when you go as far as to do what you did, I'm telling you, all I'm saying is, he is the villain on the show.
Sure.
He is
but
the
don't
villain.
Tell me
he
that
is he's
the for me, was not a criminal. He murdered someone.
But I don't, did he deserve to die like that?
Did
I think
any,
the guy,
any of them
yes,
deserve
but
to
I
die?
Think the guy who sliced like the whore's face and did what he did deserve to die that way.
Damn right.
Okay, but I don't think that the Jewish agent did. That's all I'm saying. He didn't.
I don't know where you're getting those morals from. They both were responsible for killing someone. It's murder. It's a crime.
But who did he kill? That's what I'm trying to say. There's
he killed
a
kid. He killed a kid who was hired by Jimmy. Who was hired by Jimmy to put a bloody car in the middle of a road.
He was a hood.
I mean, I understand what both of you are saying.
The Jewish guy was far worse things than that kid he murdered did.
Yeah, but you don't know.
You don't know
what the kid did.
All we know is what the show told us is that he put a car in the way for them to block the road. That's all he did.
I'm telling you, he's the villain. You'll see.
That's a different argument. I'm not saying Van Alden's not a villain. I'm saying
that
the corrupt cop got what was coming to him.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
I mean, what was coming to him.
What I'll say, in the show, I believe he's a villain. But it's also interesting that is such good writing because, viewed objectively... I believe he's the most normal guy out of all of them, viewed objectively.
Whipping himself in the back, though, Phil.
What's that?
Whipping himself in the back.
Well, okay, fine. But still, objectively, he's the most sane person out of all of them. He's not corrupt. He's not...
Well, he's,
you know
he's
what I mean?
The one trying to follow the rule of law and a certain, like, you know, social, like, religious conscience. He's got these... He's kind of like... Trying to uphold these standards that a civil society, you know, has in place. At the same time, he's a complete walking contradiction and probably a sociopath, you know, because he follows acts on
morally.
He's a complete sociopath.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a show about sociopaths. Quite, you know, I mean, come on, Rothstein.
I think sociopathic, and I think he's a sociopath.
I would say Rothstein's just like an extreme narcissism.
Yeah, businessman. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just a narcissist.
Totally
narcissists and sociopaths share like very similar
and
qualities.
And I think you could be sociopathic.
Yep.
And have behavior, and then you are a full on sociopath, which is again, is what I'm saying, is there's Manson, and then there's other people.
Yeah.
So, and I'm saying, I think
you think Van Alden's like Manson?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I absolutely think so.
Insane.
He is
completely
insane.
He just murdered a man in front of like what 30 people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then walked out with his gun.
It was fantastic.
And badge.
It was just amazing.
I mean that.
What did he scream at the sky?
I don't know, something about justice being done. That's what I felt. At least that's what came across as in his mind, justice was done.
If you don't believe in heaven,
well, judgment was served or something like that. Yeah. So
he said to his friend cop, if you don't believe in heaven, how can you conceive of a hell? Just before, maybe this is the first time that they were there.
When he's getting teary-eyed.
Notice how the agent never said, okay, I accept Christ.
No, he didn't.
He stayed true to his beliefs.
Yeah. Where should he? God. Okay.
That's
how
what I'm saying.
Awful
that's,
is that?
Didn't deserve to die. That's all I'm saying. Moving on.
Okay. No.
Before we move on to our special segment, let's just have a quick talk about Harrow. He just came in and out briefly a couple of times, ultimately at the end to inform us that Margaret had packed up and left. But what I was very interested about his little chat with Jimmy at the Commodore's house, where he'd been out scouting the Philly kids, trying to root them out. They've all gone underground, the guys who tried to assassinate Nucky. And he said something about a mother and a brother. Does anyone remember this conversation that they had at the bottom of the stairs?
I do remember.
And did he say something about, shall I go and take them out and that'll flush them out?
And then they'll pop their heads up.
They'll pop their heads up, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a guy we'll
So this is Harrow, our beautiful man with the two faces, who we really love.
Everybody does.
Great. Who just has said, just to pick up from what we've just been talking about, has just said, I will go and just take out their mother, brother, and wife, or something, like just these innocent, like, who knows, but I'm sure they've got blood on their hands too.
They might not.
But again,
to flush them out.
He's fully committed.
I just was like, that's
and
amazing.
I think much like the mother had a part of her soul crushed at 13, or probably before,
he's an assassin now, it's what he does.
I think losing half his face, I think that part of him has been crushed too. And he's like, Jimmy, you were the only one that saw past my disability.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's the oldest mob thing in the book. That's the first people they recruit. They love guys who don't have families. Because you know what? Come be part of our family.
Yeah.
And these guys want to belong, and then they'll do anything. Mm-hmm. So you bet your ass he's going to be completely loyal to Jimmy for what Jimmy did for him. You saw me as normal. You never saw me as anything less. Took me in, gave me, whatever, got me whores, got me, a great life, and now he's going to do whatever Jimmy needs him to do.
Yeah, I didn't see a problem with it. I don't know.
But do you see what you're saying to me? I mean, I don't...
Because
it's all gray is what I'm saying. Like, it is
gray, but that's why the show's gray. But what I'm saying is he's not trying to be a hero. Mm-hmm. The other guy is. I'm a cop, and I'm the hero. No, you're not. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Wasn't it wonderful when when the priest, the second time they turn up, and the priest welcomed him, Van Alden, officer of the blood, and like he said his title.
He's not a priest, reverend.
The reverend,
minister.
Sorry. And he welcomed Van Alden and just said his title afterwards, and it just had this little edge of ridicule to it or something else.
I thought the acting in that scene was great. I thought the writing was great because I loved that a black man in the 20s, if a cop came around, you would think all those people, and they were frightened. But the minister was great and went right back at him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
John the Baptist, he was a real John the Baptist like kind of figure to me. Yeah.
And he has
we just had the wrong plate on the head at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
But he reached him as much as he could.
Yeah, it was his reckoning. That's when Van Alden came back to God, and after his whiskey drinking and whoring of the last episode.
And we think maybe he's going to change just a little bit. At least I did for a second. I was like, maybe he's...
I thought, I thought he was going to recommit, which I knew he was going to recommit.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. His relationship with Lucy is going to come back to be a good thing for him, because remember what I said earlier on? She said, I'm a cat with my claws. Mm. She's going to fight back, and she's going to do it through this special agent. Yeah, she's going to be able to give
information. Yeah, as soon as he walked in with his gun, I knew he was going to recommit. It's curtains for this bloke. I was like,
you knew he was going to die.
Absolutely.
I didn't know. I thought he was going to.
I was like, he's
going to
drown.
I thought he was
going
to baptism. That's good. You're smart. I didn't know that.
To tie back in narcissists and sociopaths, Nucky, his brother Eli, said to him in this episode, why are you playing God? Like, who are you to take that man's life?
Right.
When Van Alden, hears that thread, does play God in front of everyone.
Right.
And so there's that. There are those similarities between narcissists and sociopaths. They play God. They think it's okay.
Well, and that, and again, it,
but
again,
Van Alden's not struggling with it, and Nucky is.
Again, it's what
and that's what
and
makes him
a sociopath and someone who has sociopathic behavior.
Yep.
It's what it all comes back to what Harding said in the opening. The opening cocktail scene: deception requires complicity. We all want to be deceived, and we saw it. We saw it with running through every little like every like plot point. It was there tonight.
We just, all do. I know. I do.
We all buy into our own lies.
I mean, I know when I'm like dealing with salespeople every now and again, I'm like, come on, sell me on the lies. Scam me. I want like.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write the check anyway, so make me feel good about writing it.
Yeah. So.
It's like those ab machines.
Right.
You're like, really? If I just strap it to me and the electroshock waves will make my abs so fabulous?
So why does Nucky at the end, before we move on to our special segment, why does Nucky go to the tarot palm reader at the end? Why did he do that? Was he just that lost? Is he just that?
He is lost. That's a great way of putting it, because he's a half a gangster.
Yeah.
And now he's just taken
his girl.
He lost his girl. He lost his brother. And now he has to say, he's probably saying, geez, where am I going with this at the end of the day? I don't have a wife. And by the way, what we haven't touched upon, how did his wife meet her demise?
I really think that they insinuated that it was a bit
shady.
Murky. I think it was murky.
So I think he's at this place where he's reaching out to some higher power. And of course, it's not going to be religion. It's going to be more, you know, a
sideshow.
Right.
The sideshows. I love that bookend.
Because he wants to be deceived too.
Right.
We all want to be deceived. And this is why the writing on the show is so brilliant.
That's his whole journey. His whole journey is as Eli was, and as Margaret's pulled him out, and as Jimmy has called him out, say to me you're a murderer. Say to me you're a murderer. And he just politics his way around.
Jimmy's the only one that kind of has a stance. Like, I respect Jimmy saying it. Margaret, I didn't, because he said, "What do you've been like living high off the hog, like off of all this. What are you talking about?
And now you have an opinion?"
Yeah. So
if I could title this episode, it would be "It's Tough to Have a Family in This Business."
yeah, you're right. It really is.
Right. Well, it was a great episode, and it certainly leaves us ready for some very, very juicy
finales
next week. I can't wait to see it. So tonight for our special, we wanted to talk about the way that this show has paralleled elements of the 1920s, both in terms of the economic happenings, the gender politics, all this kind of stuff, with specifically the 1990s. Phil.
I would say mid to late 90s.
Mid to late 90s.
Because it all this segment came about when last week Rothstein says, "Gentlemen, we're entering into the information age.
Right.
Soon you're going to have telephones will replace telegraphs. You will have information right at hand, yada, 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 yada."
Yeah, which is something we hear, have been hearing in advertisements since the 90s nonstop.
Right. Since about the mid to late 90s, we're in the information age. Clearly it's the writers making this statement that then is like today, very clever. But it made me consider, okay, so creatively speaking, I get why the writers are saying that, and I think it's very interesting that they are. However, let's peel another layer away. Let's ask ourselves, you know, is it so eerily similar, the Roaring Twenties, and what Phil and I were saying, and Paul, you know, being from Australia, didn't hear about what some people called the bling era, which was about 97, 98, till probably like it ended. Jeez, after 9/11 was the beginning of the end of it. Maybe it was even earlier.
I mean,
95.
So how did it differ from the greed? Like the good greed is good 80s. I mean, that was just about like fast money, and this was more about tech.
It was more about, I think, just bling, having fun. It wasn't so much like, yeah, we'll just slice anyone's throat to get the money. That was the 80s, but the 20s was what, a party.
Yeah.
And the bling era was all about, you know, wearing so much gold. And it was Paris Hilton, and it was all about just being rich and not giving a flip.
Yeah, right.
And all about vanity and excess and fun and partying. And you got to see it. I'm trying to think of the stars. Well, I think J-Lo, I think.
Right.
Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, I mean, for me, a huge misconception with most people is that they think when you hear the 90s, it's only like from 91 to 99. And like, I believe for me, the 90s is, you know, so we have the fall of communism.
And so in our eyes, as Americans, we've defeated this great enemy.
Consumerism and capitalism have won.
Exactly. And so we're ready to party, much in the vein Woo! Of that, you know, World War One, the Great War, had ended.
Right.
And so we were off the celebration of that.
Right.
And up until, for me, the 90s go exactly up until 9/11 and that turn.
And you know, some sociologists do say, Phil, that typically a decade's not over until like the first 2 years of the next thing. So you're 100%
well, then,
on the
and then
money.
We've gone and run into a global depression, which is what we found happening in the early 30s. Obviously, we're a few years on now. But
exactly.
So I mean, and I'd love tonight that in that also in that opening scene, we have a reference to Mr. Ponzi, the original Ponzi.
Charles.
Where, because that guy, the little fatty guy who was, bankrolling the other little whore who goes in and tries to swindle, you know, some more money out of Nucky mid episode, loses his cool because he's been completely swiped by this investment scheme by the original guy who it's named after, the Ponzi scheme. And, you know, the whole Bernie Mac stuff. The guy is now in prison for 125 years, and,
right.
Which is really at the...
No, Madoff.
Madoff, sorry. What did I say?
Bernie
Mac.
Actor. Poor Bernie Mac.
Oh, yeah. He
really left the
sorry,
business
mate.
Too early. And
my apologies. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for the
sorry.
Correction. You know, and that whole kind of deception, that whole economic deception that we're, like, the entire world is feeling now, and the European countries continue to... You know, Ireland's banks are just about to completely fold, and then probably not Spain and Portugal not far away. I mean, it's all it's
a worldwide.
And I love that they've referenced it now, and I think it proves your point, the point that you guys are making even more. You know,
that
this comparison.
And it's making me even think. Well, you know, I mean, in a good way. That geez, is there actually hope that we'll pull out of this? Because I have a lot of friends on
cyclical,
Wall Street,
you know,
who don't think we are because we don't make anything. We don't. They don't know. Well, where is this money going to come from? So that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that maybe it is cyclical, and maybe it does offer us some hope. I mean, I mean that we will pull out of this. But I think a little bit more research about the 20s and 30s now, because I think it is. I never saw the similarities between the flapper era, the roaring 20s, and the bling era. And now I look at it, and now Phil, you just like further. It just added gas onto my theory because of the fact that you're right, coming out of World War One and coming out of the fall of communism.
Well, also, I mean, too, you guys, in terms of it being cyclical, the huge difference is capitalism in itself has failed twice within 70 years, but at the time when it failed the first time, about inflation versus the amount people were making was on average about the same. So what do you call that, a salary raise?
During both bad times?
Yes,
okay.
It's during that bad time.
Okay.
Now, it was about in the 60s where banks initially started, where inflation went too high rather than raises. So raises were a lesser percentage than the inflation. And so then people started taking out loans, and that's when some economists are saying that's where we start getting into trouble. So there is a difference between the two collapses. There
right.
are so there are,
different well, enough that you is that good or bad?
In my opinion, it could be bad.
That's what I think. I don't want to hear that. I was excited about them being the same. So then maybe we could enter into our 40s or our mid to late 30s and things get.
But I mean,
better.
The good news is we are sort of in a war, so that could get us back on track.
God.
I do love it how we did actually sort of touch on this in some of our Mad Men discussions when we've done After Buzz TV for Mad Men last season. It's so interesting how a show that like a period piece like Mad Men set in 1960, this set in the 20s, how they can isolate sort of socio-political economic issues for us in the present, even though they're set in the past, and in fact they can isolate them even more because you can see these comparisons
right.
in terms of Mad Men. You can look at gender politics and see how much has really changed, and that then accentuates our discussion of it now. You can look at the 1920s and see this the way that the economy is happening there, et cetera, et cetera, and it sort of it gives a different perspective on how we're talking about what we're going through now, and it's just great that these shows do that. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, the smarter ones, you know.
It's
a great time to be a TV fan.
It allows us to have some hope that there's a way out.
I'm sure we'll be fine. All right, well, look, let's move on then to
AfterBuzz TV News.
That's it.
All right, Mark Wahlberg gave thanks this Thanksgiving for his 2010 movies, The Fighter and The Other Guys. Did any of you see those this week?
I don't think it's out yet.
I'm ready for it.
I can't wait.
I know, I'm absolutely ready.
Christian Bale, Academy
Mark's
Award.
Like decade. It's crazy. Uh-huh. I mean, I was just even noticing tonight to have an executive producer title right before Martin Scorsese's on this show that's just, I believe, the best on television right now. You know, what a life, what a career.
He's done extremely well.
I'm just ready for a Boston movie. Anything really? Boston based.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
you're a Rhode
so
Island girl.
Happy. Yeah, I want to hear the accent.
It's a true story, and it's a great story too.
Yeah.
And
Christian Bale,
Christian Bale for
Academy Award. Mm-hmm.
And you see Christian somehow has transformed himself into this like skinny.
He's done it multiple times, you know, with for the first Batman, he gained on a lot of weight, and they were like, whoa, you gained too much weight, tone it down. So he's known for that.
Yeah, we're definitely thankful for his contributions to this show.
Yeah,
most certainly. In other news, Courtney Love posted racy photos of herself on Twitter. Oh, I don't know if I want to see those. There's also one with her kissing another woman. And the woman looks a lot like Paz de la Huerta, who plays Lucy on the show. Okay. Whenever it is her... whether it is her or not, it's yet to be confirmed.
I saw the picture list.
It looks exactly like her.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect. Sounds like a perfect match to me.
You know, we who was it? I know last week you guys had a guest, one of the guests on that said they knew her and said she was. Yeah, it was.
Oh, I don't know her. A friend of mine was in acting class with her.
And said she's
said
very
that
much
she's
like a character.
The dead spit.
Very, yeah, it's. She's. That's
no
her
acting
jam.
Required.
That's her jam. That's okay. She
like
does a great
that.
Job
like
with it.
Like hearing that.
In other AfterBuzz news, we have... Oh, I can't remember. Why can't I remember her name off the top of my head right now? It's Kelly MacDonald. Thank you. I'm so excited. In 2011, she will play the Grey Lady revealed to be Helena Ravenclaw in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Really?
The final film of the Harry Potter franchise.
Big smile from Phil. Harry Potter. I know you guys did after show for the first part of the movie, so that's great. Now, who does she play on Boardwalk?
Margaret.
She's Margaret.
Margaret. Okay,
yeah,
what do I know? I'm from the Jersey
that's okay.
Shore.
That's fine.
No. All right. Have you got anything else for us?
No, that's all of our AfterBuzz gossip for... today. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Bethany. So, guys, predictions for next week. We saw a lot of very dramatic-looking shots in the sneak peek, but didn't give away too much. I mean, I just feel like on the back of all of this setup, we're going to see some fireworks.
We even ended this episode with a very lonely shot of the boardwalk. The lights were dim. And
the music was killing me. Did you hear that, like,
storm,
snare
baby.
Drum? It was like, boom, bum, bum, boom. It was so slow.
Yeah.
And Chalky's back, and he looks scary as all.
He looks angry. And I loved how they pulled out to end on that tonight. Like the boardwalk, the life of the boardwalk, that kind of that fanfare, that kind of like smiling, clowning kind of deceit.
It was like a Tuesday night on the boardwalk.
That conceit.
It was kind of like a half dead night on the boardwalk.
Just like decaying
film.
Underneath, and it's all about to fall out from under them. Like I'm quite excited. About
I think
week.
You know, having just seen in the first season of Dexter, I'm going through all the episodes because I want to be ready for AfterBuzz for next season. And you know, they went with that. It was like, well, at least with the first season, it was building. You know, strong resolution at the end, tie up all the loose ends, kind of a happy ending. If you're a fan of Dexter's,
right?
I feel like. With this show, I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think that there
will be some resolutions. I think that, however, at the same time, I think that there are going to be some gaping wounds that are going to be left open to keep us.
Was the word retribution?
Yeah,
it was the word retribution, but I don't feel like it's going to be the retribution that you see sometimes at the end of these seasons.
No.
Where it's like all the villains in this world get theirs, and our protagonists.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very ironic
yes.
type of
story. And I think it's going to be about real, like, the power. It's going to be about power shifting or like beginning to.
I think it's going to be about committing.
That, and I mean,
full gangstership.
I mean,
and who has the power,
right,
and setting up who's going to take it in the future. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we're not going to see too much, but these seeds are being planted. You know. Like.
Yeah, and I believe they do it next week as well. That it's the voting actually happens. You know, because we've sort of that's been the
the election.
Ah.
Yeah,
the Harding
so
election, Phil,
I see.
Or the mayoral.
The mayoral.
All right, well,
I just know I'm like so sad because I think that this right now I do believe is the best show on television. I know some of you agree, some of you don't, but I do. I think it's the best thing on television. It's going to be, and I really hope we don't get the usual, okay, see you Christmas 2013 or, you
oh,
know.
Oh, God,
I mean,
that would be terrible.
I hope they don't pull one of those like they've done on so many HBO shows.
Yeah.
You know, Entourage, remember how many some of those hiatuses were like, what?
Well,
and they can get away with it,
We're copying the Breaking Bad one right now. We've still got 6 months to wait till the next season of Breaking Bad.
Well, from now, but it was over a year.
Still 6 months.
What takes them so long?
I don't think it takes them so long. I think that they know they can keep us hooked. It ends up being great for the actors and the producers because they can go do other projects.
God,
so it's like, hey, we're not paying you a lot, but look at it. If you were doing 22... episodes of a sitcom, you might have enough time maybe to do one film.
Yeah.
Now look what you can go do. And furthermore, a lot of those, because these shows, and Phil and I were talking about this off the air, these shows, most of them are so driven by the heart of the showrunner.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew Weiner and all the other, like Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
It's like Larry David. They're carrying this thing in their hearts.
Yeah.
And they get this period to really recharge. I mean, I know.
I got the feeling that when hearing Vince Gilligan talk about Breaking Bad, that he needed to take a
break.
They
needed space.
And also to make sure they didn't stuff it up.
And here we go with his more after Buzz gossip, and I probably mentioned it before, but Doug Ellen, you know, was out just a few weeks ago with someone I know and was saying, do you have any ideas? I don't know what to do with Entourage, really. I don't know what to do. Now, you know, Larry David says every year that when it ends, I'm not doing another one. I can't do this. There's no way I can replicate this. I can't come up with these ideas. I'm done. And then, a little time passes, and all of a sudden,
I think
with these shows, because they just, it's so driven by one person. It's not like a sitcom where you have the 22 writers. They may have those writers, but this is clearly the heart and soul.
There's one vision.
Yes.
Driving, an artistic director.
And they need that. They need that. But, God, for the fans, it stinks.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
all right, we'll see what happens. Can't wait to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to an end of tonight's AfterBuzz TV for Boardwalk Empire Season 1, Episode 11, titled Paris Green, a terrific penultimate episode. Thanks, Phil, Bethany, Kev, Corey, and Perspex Booth, and, of course, Buzz, our ever-present sleeper.
Little Buzz, we put him to sleep.
he's had enough for tonight. Hope you will all be back next week for the final episode. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer Corey Sheehan, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com or buzz into our Twitter account or Facebook page by searching AfterBuzz TV.
Later.
See you later.